You don't need to turn to it, but I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31, where the Bible says this. This was in the upper room. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he, Jesus, said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Again, this was in the upper room. And Jesus was telling Peter that, hey, Satan wants you. Satan wants to put you through the sifter, just like wheat. But I want you to know I prayed for you. I pray that your faith fail not. And Peter said, "Lord, Satan's not going to get me. Whatever he throws at me, I want you to know that I'm not only ready to go to prison with you, if that's what my discipleship cost, I'm actually ready to die with you, if that's what it cost." And Jesus said, "Peter, no, before the cock crows this day, three times, you're going to deny that you even know me." And we know the rest of the story. That's exactly what happened. As Peter stood around that fire that night in the courtyard when Jesus was in with the high priest and the Sanhedrin, a young girl asked him, "Oh, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And Peter said, "No, I don't know him." And then a man asked him, "Well, yeah, you're surely one of them. I mean," and he said, "No, I don't know him." And then a third person said, "Well, yeah, you must know him because your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean." And Peter cussed and said, "No, I don't know him." And then the Bible says that Jesus looked out either through a doorway or a window at Peter when he denied him the third time. The cock crowed, and Peter, the Bible says, went out and wept bitterly. Now, this was the same man, same person, who wrote what we read for our scripture reading tonight. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Peter could speak from personal experience how Satan attacks. Peter could speak from personal experience how, even though his desire was to remain true and faithful to his master, that as Satan attacks, sometimes we fall. And when the devil works on us, here's what we think. Well, he's after me. He's after me. I'm the one that he wants. And I will tell you tonight, in a sense, yes, he is the one that you want. He is the one that you are the one that he wants. Now, I'm going to expand that a little bit and say, I'm going to tell you who he's really going after when he comes after us. But he does want us. He does want us to go to hell. God's not willing that any should perish. Satan's willing that everybody perishes. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Satan wants everybody to go to hell. And he'll attack the plan of salvation. He'll tell people, "Oh, you're not really that much of a sinner. I mean, your sin isn't bad enough that God would separate himself from you forever." And when he says that Jesus is the only way to heaven, well, that's not exactly true either. There are other ways to heaven. You can be good enough, or you can join a church, you can get baptized, and God will overlook your sin, and you can go to heaven. And Satan will lie. He'll say, "Well, yeah, maybe God's right. Maybe Jesus is the only way to heaven. But you don't need to do it today. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it next week. You're young. You have your whole life ahead of you. Why don't you just wait and live your life, and then when you get older, you can come to God." And Satan will lie because He wants everybody to be separated from God. He wants everybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be with him for all eternity. And so he wants you to ignore the plan of salvation. He wants you to ignore the invitation that comes from the Holy Spirit. He wants you to ignore the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary for you. He wants you to ignore the whole thing and end up dying apart from God. Now, if you're saved, he doesn't give up. And he knows that he can't get you to hell if you've received Christ as your Savior, but he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. He wants you to stop doing anything for God. He doesn't want you to do the work that you were made to do, like we talked about this morning. And he would just like to destroy your witness for God, your witness for Jesus. And he'll keep working on you. He, just like Jesus told Peter, Satan wants us. He wants to sift us. He wants us to fall away from the faith. And so, in a sense, Satan wants each of us. Either wants us not to get saved, or he wants us to so he can destroy our testimony. But here's the point of my message tonight. When Satan attacks us, who he really wants to get, who he really is coming after, is God. He's attacking God. He wants to pierce. He wants to hurt. He wants to wound the heart of God. And every time a person goes to hell, I believe God weeps and God's heart is broken. And every time a Christian fails, and every time a Christian falls, and every time a Christian stops doing what God wants them to do, I think God's heart and Jesus' heart is pierced. And so my message, I don't have any points tonight, so you're just going to have to follow along. I'm going to say the same thing over and over and over and over again, but here's the point of my message. Don't let Satan get you. Don't succumb to his temptations. Just slam the door in his face and say, "No, Satan, you're not getting me." You say, "Pastor, do I have the power to do that?" Yes, you do. Greater is he that is in you, talking about the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. Satan is in the world. But we have God living inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who is a greater power than Satan. And we can say no to Satan. We can say, "Not this time, not this time. You're not getting me this time." And that's the point of my message tonight. We just need to tell Satan, "No, I'm not listening to your temptation. I don't believe you. You're a liar. You don't tell any truth at all. So why should I listen to you? You're not getting me." Now, I will remind you tonight as a motivation that nobody backslides alone. Nobody quits church alone. Nobody rebels against God alone. Anytime we do those things, we always affect somebody else. And listen to this. Nobody dies and goes to hell alone. Everybody that dies and goes to hell usually takes somebody with them. Romans 14:7 says, "No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself." You and I are not an island. You and I have influence. You and I are responsible for other people. It may be one of our children. It may be one of our parents. It may be a brother or a sister. But somebody has their eye on us. Somebody is watching us. Somebody is looking to us as an example. And here's what the devil knows. If the devil can get me, he can get them. If the devil gets me, who that person is watching, then the devil can get that person. If the devil can get me and my child is watching me, or my parent is watching me, or my brother or sister is watching me, then if I fall, they are apt to fall as well. That's how Satan works. He attacks individuals so that he can get to families. And he attacks families so that he can get to the church. And he attacks the church because if he can get the church to quit doing what God left it to do, he can get the world. And if he can get the world, he can get to God and pierce God's heart. Every time I yield to Satan, I leave the door open for somebody else. Every time I yield, I leave the door open for Satan to take a shot at God. The chain is only as strong as the weakest link. A Christian is only as strong as the weakest piece of their character. A marriage is only as strong as the weakest partner. And the church is only as strong as its weakest member. When the devil attacks us, yes, he wants us, but he has bigger things in mind. And I want to remind you tonight that what you do is important. What you do impacts and affects more than just you. Everybody is a door to somebody else. Everybody is a door to somebody else. And so when Satan comes and attacks, when Satan comes and tempts, when Satan comes and tries to get us to fall away, we have a choice. We can either leave the door open and let Satan get us, knowing that if he gets us, he's going to get those people that we influence. He's going to get those people that we have some responsibility for. He's going to get those that are holding us up as an example. And so we can leave the door open and know that Satan's not only going to get us, but he's also going to get those all around us. Or we can slam the door in his face and say, "Not this time, Satan. Not this time, devil. You're not getting me. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to listen. You're a liar in the first place. Nothing you say is true. Why should I listen to you? And you're not going to get me. And I'm going to stand not for just my sake. I'm going to stand for all of those around me. All those that are looking at me." You know, sometimes Satan uses followers to get to leaders. Think about the Israelites as they were going through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. After they had already come up and refused to go in the first time, and God had passed judgment on them and said, "Okay, you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. You're going to wander a year for every day you spent spying out the land. Everybody over 20 is going to die." All the time they spent those 40 years, they were griping and complaining. I mean, you just go back and you read the book of Exodus and you read the book of Numbers, read the book of Deuteronomy. They were a bunch of gripers. They were a bunch of complainers. Who do you think tempted them to do that? Who do you think whispered to them in their ear, "Boy, it's hot out here. Boy, this food ain't very good. We don't have enough water. We have to just walk and walk and walk and walk. What's the use? We're all going to die." I mean, that's what Satan was whispering in their ear. And they complained, and they complained, and they complained. Now, he was trying to get them, but he was also trying to get somebody else. He was trying to get Moses. He was trying to get their leader. And he did. I mean, Moses got so tired of them complaining that when God told him to speak to the rock instead of striking it, remember, the rock was a picture of Jesus Christ, smitten once, smitten only once, needed to be smitten only once. And God was painting a picture with the rock in the wilderness. And the first time they needed water, God told Moses, "Go and smite the rock." And God sent water. The second time they needed water, God told Moses, "Don't smite it." Now, he didn't say this, but this is what he was saying. And Moses knew it. "Don't strike it again because you're going to mess up my picture. Don't strike it again because you're going to mess up the picture I'm trying to paint of Jesus." And Moses, Satan got to Moses through his followers, his people. They're griping and complaining. He said when he went to the rock and struck it, he says, "Oh, ye rebels." He got so tired of their complaining that Satan got through to him through his followers. And as a result, he disobeyed God. He didn't get to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua got to do it. What we do as followers affects our leaders. I don't know about you. I sure wouldn't want to be the one that opened the door for Satan to get Moses. I wouldn't. And I don't want to be the one that opens the door for Satan to get somebody that's a leader in my life. If you have parents in your life, they're your leaders. Don't open the door for Satan to get them. If you have you have a Sunday school teacher, you have a pastor, and here's what we ought to say. I'm not going to be the door where Satan gets through to get my mom and dad, to get my Sunday school teacher, to get my pastor. I'm closing the door. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to lock it again. I'm going to lock it again. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to yield to the temptation. Say, "Preacher, I can't do that." Yes, you can. You can. Don't tell me you can't do it. I know the power that you have inside of you. I know the Holy Spirit. We sin and we fall to temptation because we choose to. Huh? We choose to. Satan doesn't sneak up on us and say, "Oh, I got you now." No, 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 no. Yeah, you say, I know. You could be driving down the road and there's a dirty picture on a billboard and you glance at it. But you don't have to stare at it. You get it, and you can pray immediately, "Holy Spirit, help me to get this image out of my mind." I used to have a pastor that said, "Maybe you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest." Don't let him stay. Don't let him dwell. Take a stand. Close the door. When Satan attacked the Israelites, yeah, they were part of his target, but they weren't his main target. His main target was Moses, because he knew if he could get Moses, he could get to God. Again, he wanted to be God. God kicked him out of heaven because he wanted to be God. And God comes after God's people. I mean, Satan comes after God's people, and Satan comes after God's leaders because Satan wants to get to God. Now, the opposite is also true. Sometimes Satan uses leaders to get to followers. In John chapter 21, we read a story, true story, about Peter and six of the other disciples. Now again, Peter was the leader, the unofficial leader of the disciples. He's the one that's always first named in the list of disciples. He's the one that's always usually piping up. Now, there was a couple occasions where he didn't, but whenever Jesus asked a question, he was the one that answered for the group. Let me just ask you a couple questions tonight. Was Peter the most spiritual of the disciples? Probably not. I think that honor belongs to John. Did Peter have the most intimate relationship with Jesus? I don't think so. Again, I think John had the most intimate relationship with Jesus. Who was the disciple that the Bible says Jesus loved? The one that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. John was the one that he loved. John was the one that, when every other disciple forsook him, stood at the foot of the cross. John was the one that Jesus turned to and said, "John, I want you to take care of my mom. Mom, I want you to go home with John and let him take care of you." So John was probably the most spiritual of the disciples. But Peter was the leader, the strongest personality. In John chapter 1, we read about Peter getting discouraged. He denied Christ. He'd seen Christ once already in the upper room, but still didn't know what was going on. He didn't know if he was still going to be used in the kingdom of God because of his denials of the Savior. And in John chapter 21, Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, people have debated. Was he going just to get his mind off of what was going on, or was he going because he was going to go back to that way of life? I don't know. But he didn't go by himself. Notice, he didn't go by himself. The Bible says there were six other disciples that went with him. Peter didn't ask him to go. He didn't say, hey, let's see, James and John went with him. Nathaniel went with him. And there were two of them that weren't named, and I can't remember the other ones that were named. But there's no record that Peter said, hey, I'm going fishing. You guys want to go? No record of that. He just said, I'm going fishing. And again, he didn't invite them. He didn't try to get them to go with him. He just said, this is what I'm going to do. And the other six, including John, the most spiritual of the disciples, said, well, I'm going to go with you. We're going to go with you. They went fishing, fished all night, and caught nothing. Caught nothing. The next morning, a man stood on the shore and cried out, children, have you any meat? Have you caught any fish? Now, none of the disciples recognized Christ. None of them. Not even John, the most spiritual of the 11 that are now left. And this man on the shore said, well, cast your net on the other side. Now, again, I often think what Peter must have thought. Well, who is this guy? I mean, I'm the fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I fished all night and caught nothing. Who is this that has the audacity to stand on a shore and tell me how to fish and throw the net on the other side? And I don't know if they had any discussion or if they just threw the net on the other side, but the Bible says that they caught so many fish that the net began to break. And then the most spiritual of the disciples, John, said, Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Now, how did the most spiritual of the disciple end up in a place where he probably shouldn't have been, not recognizing the Savior until the Savior worked a miracle? How did he end up in that place? Because he followed his leader. Peter left the door open, and Satan went through him to get John and the other five disciples. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I do not want to be responsible for leaving the door open for Satan to get through that door and get anybody that calls me pastor. I do not want to do that. And with the Holy Spirit's help, every time Satan attacks, and by the way, he attacks. Every time Satan attacks, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to shut the door. Help me to say no. Help me to keep my mind clean and pure, my attitude right. Help me to not wander into sin, because I do not want to be I do not want to be responsible for my children or my grandchildren or my wife or any of you for Satan to come through that door and get you. Now, again, all of you have followers. All of you have people that look up to you as their leader. And they're looking at you. And they have their eye on you. And they study you. And they follow your example. And we ought all to say, not now, Satan, not today, Satan. You're not getting me today, Satan. There's too many people that look to me, too many people that are depending on me to shut the door, shut it tight, lock it tight, and not let you through. And that's what we all ought to say. We owe each other not to be a door for Satan to come through. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Listen, folks, the day is approaching. The day is approaching. And every single person brings something to this assembly. Every single person. Every single person has a part to play, a God-given part to play in our assembly. One part can make a difference. I do read the comics. That's the only part of the paper I read. And I don't know, I don't even know the name. There's this older couple. And a lady comes in and says, I just finished putting together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And I've tore it all apart and put it back in the box, and I took it to the Salvation Army so somebody else could have the pleasure of doing it. But I found a piece. And somebody's going to try to put that puzzle together, and they're going to get 999 pieces together, and they're going to be missing one. She says, I think I'm going to go to the Salvation Army and try to find that puzzle and put it back in the box. Just then, their dog reached up and grabbed the piece of the puzzle and ate it. And her husband, who is full of wisdom all the time, says, well, that solved that problem. That will not solve our problem. Every person here, if you forsake the assembly, you are leaving the door open for Satan to attack this work. Story goes, one night Napoleon, the French emperor, was walking the sentry line. And he came across one of his soldiers that was sleeping at his post. He took it out his gun, shot him. Shot him dead. The next day, some of his men, through the chain of command, sent word to Napoleon, seems like your punishment of so-and-so was pretty harsh. I mean, he was tired. He fell asleep. Nothing happened. Why'd you shoot him? And Napoleon said, the enemy could have come through that one point and killed thousands of our soldiers. Every soldier needs to realize that sleeping at their post is not an acceptable practice, and they will be executed if they don't protect the whole. Same thing can be said about God's soldiers. If we're not in the place that he wants us to be, we leave the whole church vulnerable. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You're somebody's foundation. You are. They're looking at you. They're building their life on what you do. If you fail, they'll fail. If you fall, they'll fall. Satan, in the Garden of Eden, he wanted to get to Adam. How did he get to Adam? He came through Eve. Satan wanted to get Eli. How did he get Eli? He got Eli's sons. Satan wanted to attack Samson. How did he get Samson? He came through Samson's sons. He came after Joseph. Now, I'll end with this one because I'm just about out of time. He came after Joseph. We know Joseph's story. Hated by his brothers, sold as a slave, taken far away from home to Egypt, lied about in Potiphar's house, thrown in prison, forgotten by the butler when he foretold his dream. Satan came after Joseph time after time after time after time after time. And Joseph said every time, not this time. Not this time. I'm not going to become hateful because my brothers threw me in the pit and sold me as a slave. I'm not going to become hateful because Potiphar's wife lied about me. I'm not going to become hateful because the butler forgot me for 2 years, left me in prison. No, Satan, you're not getting to me. And Joseph slammed the door in Satan's face. And Satan didn't get him. Satan's after you. He's after me. He wants us, that's for sure. But there's somebody else he wants. And when he gets that somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, then he can say, I'm getting to God. I'm getting to God. Let's slam the door. Let's lock the door. Listen, he's a liar. Why would we believe anything that he says? He is a liar. And like I said this morning, I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I say like Billy Sunday, as long as I got strength in my hand, I'm going to pound him for all I've got. As long as I got strength in my feet, I'm going to stomp on him as much as I can. As long as I have my teeth, I'm going to bite him every chance I get. And when my hand gets weak and my foot gets weak and I lose all my teeth, I'm going to gum him for all I'm worth. We ought to hate him. Slam the door in his face. Say, not this time, Satan. Not this time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that he gives us. And I pray tonight that we would each realize the power that we have residing in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, who is far, far greater than any power that Satan has. We can resist his temptation. We can resist his lies. We can resist the situations and the thoughts and the attitudes he tries to get us into and get in our hearts and in our minds, as long as we claim the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help us to do that. Help us to slam the door in Satan's face. We know he's after us, but he's also after those people in our life. And God, we know he's after you. Help us to be strong. Help us to resist. Help us, as Peter says, to be vigilant, because he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I pray tonight, Father, if there's somebody here that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you've been talking to them. They realize they're a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin. They have to pay it themselves, or they have to let Jesus pay it for them. I pray if they're not saved tonight, they would come receive Christ as their Savior. I pray you would speak to Christians. I pray we would do tonight what you want us to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.